Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, everybody? It's a Wednesday evening. It's that time again. My name is Citizen Payne. You have reached the Blog Talk. If you're hearing my voice, you have reached. You notice how I had thought that over with, right? Trying to sound all cool and everything. But I said, if you're within the sound of my voice, it's Blog Talk Radio time, and it is the K Thompson Live Show time. I said it's the K Thompson Live Show time. I'm the
ditto.
Okay, here she wants to talk. So never mind the intro. Go ahead. Who are you? What's your name?
I'm Kay Thompson.
Go ahead. Talk on, lady.
Yeah, we're having a little difficulty here.
Can't wait to get on the mic.
Naturally, it was on for so many years anyway. You know, you're just a little bit jealous, I think. My son, Eric Payne, you know, actor, boy, oh boy, really excited. And to have him on each week is quite a joy. And it makes me excited. And it's really great. Huh.
All right. Great. That's wonderful.
You agree with my greatness?
Yep, that's right. We want to say hello out there to everybody, the K Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Citizen Payne. That is my mom, K Thompson, of the K Thompson Live Show, with our co-hosts, Mr. Wayne Gilman and Byron Saunders. It's been an eventful week in the news. Seems like nowadays it's like a soap opera, like a telenovela, like reality show presidency, because you got to keep up every single. She wants to talk again. Get tapped.
Oprah for president.
All righty.
Oprah Winfrey for president.
Right. Oprah Winfrey for president, everybody. But, yeah, like I was saying, it's been – you kind of have to pay attention every single day, because there's always something new, always a new trick, always – it's just always – I mean, there's always something with the presidency. They say, you know, when they become president – I'm having major trouble here with this thing. But they say when a person becomes president, you know, that's a 24-hour job. And I think it's for us being citizens under a Trump presidency has become a 24-hour job. I don't know. Watch after this guy. I don't know why I'm having trouble tonight with this thing. Seem to be having technical troubles. I'm the technical person in the house, so I got to fix it. But just bear with me, everybody, as I'm trying to make sure my equipment is working. You know, when you jerry-rig stuff and you MacGyver, Bluggyver, black guy.
Something?
Here, she wants to talk again. Hold on, Leia. Here, hold on to that. Here, she wants to talk again, everybody.
You want
to
know why you're having trouble?
Why am I having trouble,
because
Mom?
You have Trump on the brain.
Right.
And I'm saying Oprah Winfrey for president.
Okay.
Okay? So, you notice that the mic has been, you know, dropping. Now I'm talking about Oprah.
Right.
Dump Trump.
Okay.
Oprah Winfrey for
Let's
president.
Let's jump Trump, everybody. Let me call in. I have trouble with this thing here. Hold on, everybody. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Let's call in one of our co-hosts, Mr. Byron Saunders. Hey, Byron, go ahead. Go ahead, Byron. Why don't you go ahead and take it away while I fix stuff here? What do you think about what's going
All
on?
Right.
Now, Byron's going to take it away.
Well, it's wonderful to be on for this evening, and hello, Kay, hello, Wayne, hello, Eric. I know you're going to get it all together because you are the man, but hey, okay, Oprah for president. Gee, that's something to really consider. I got three takes on that, Kay, and let me bounce this off you and see how you feel about this. I love Oprah. I mean, that's my hero and an icon. And the one thing that I don't want to have happen to my shero and my icon is the unfettered attacks that will be coming against her worse than President Barack Hussein Obama. Why? Because none, she's a black woman. And we already know the way that the current GOP has a total disdain for women and one of a total and complete disdain for African-American women. And I can say as an African-American male, if anybody attacks or tries to play the sideline assassin against my shero, I'm going to go ballistic. and I don't want that to happen to Oprah. Now, is she qualified? As qualified, if not better than the current entertainer, but we really don't need an entertainer to run our country right now. And the reasons are this. It's because we need someone who's going to be a strict constitutionalist, who's going to protect and serve the law as it's written and stop the perversion of the law. Now, if Oprah's going to be that person, she's going to need a lot of support around her. And I recommend that if indeed you want to consider Oprah for president and she's serious about it, then she needs to be officially vetted just like all the other candidates and let her go to the convention and with all the delegates that are necessary to claim the victory as the presumptive candidate. However, I got two recommendations, that will I think will serve the country even better. I would believe that it would be on our best for the Democratic Party to right now, declare that they want Oprah as vice president. Let that be the place where her best image, the money that she's going to raise is going to be billions of dollars that are going to be raised in this next election. And the one thing about it is Oprah has the money to help. She is a genius at communication. And that genius is better to be used as a queen maker and a king maker. And then she can declare what role she would love to play in the party if she so desired to want it to be one of the parts of the administration. But I'm telling you, as best served right now, we could put a stop to all of the conjecture about who's going to be in the Democratic nominee and just declare her the presumptive vice presidential candidate. And if nobody can beat her in the convention,
All right, Byron Saunders.
Because I love Oprah. I don't want nothing to happen to Oprah.
Oprah Winfrey. For president.
I hear you. No, Kay. Kay, what would you think?
Her money is secondary to the present person in the White House. She's extremely bright. Extremely bright. Do not, keep her, in other words, I'm so annoyed because she is extremely bright. She is the one person who can beat this person that we have in the White House, okay? Every single African-American woman and a lot of white women and Latino women will put her in the – she'll have more numbers than Donald Trump. With her background, with her strength, with her power, are you serious? I don't know. The power of black women – you don't understand that. We have the power. You wouldn't be here without
us. I do understand that. My rationale is this, because I think whoever the candidate will be in the Democratic Party, I believe should be a woman. That's why I say if it's going to be Oprah, then let her go through the process to be vetted properly so that she, by the time the convention is brought to bear.
What are you talking about? She's ready to go.
Because
to the she's not going to be doing anything other than that.
Of course. No. Don't get me wrong. I think she's qualified, but do we need someone right now who does not have the background as a constitutional person of knowledge, and someone who can work both sides of the aisle? Because this will be a battle royale.
I think the other thing that would be
interesting is that what if both parties were to declare Oprah as the presumptive vice presidential candidate, and then you can let the Republicans, because they're in trouble. They're in so much trouble right now. I don't know if their party is going to be able to survive what's going on. So anyway.
Let me push back on that. On the notion, and Byron, on the notion about entertainers, and we don't need an entertainer here's the whole thing, and why people always try to get upset at entertainers and athletes that have opinions and that are citizens as well and are concerned about issues. People want to put people in a box all the time. And whenever, just like Jim Brown and Muhammad, you know, remember the backlash, people wanted to give Muhammad Ali for being an activist. That's what these people are, who just happen to be artists. Their job, their vocation is that they're an artist or an entertainer. But they, like any other citizen, have an opinion about what goes on in their country. And because the problem, I think, that people seem to have with them is that the platform that they have a lot of influence. A lot of people, for whatever reason, you know, we worship money, A, in the United States, capitalist society, but B, we also worship athletes and entertainers. And the difference between the two, there's a difference between the two, a lot of people might not think, but athletes that once they become pro athletes are kind of entertainers too, but they're in sport, the act of sport. And we always, people marvel at people's physical abilities, and certainly within the course of sports, which so closely reflects how the relationships in society. So people begin to worship people that achieve great athletic feats, therefore putting them in the spotlight, therefore giving them a large platform and a large amount of influence over a lot of people that kind of admire their abilities. And so when you have an individual like that, entertainer or athlete, and they have a half a brain and they talk about things, certain people who don't have that influence get a little upset, just like they get a little upset when the brothers raised, when Tommy Smith and John Carlos and raised their hand in Black Power solidarity in the 68 Mexico City Olympic, the medal ceremony. Just like they had a problem with Muhammad Ali, like they had a problem with Jim Brown. Now, the flip side is equal as well. You can also have in those scenarios, you could have someone like Barkley, who people always want to go to. Hoots Barkley is okay, but sometimes he's not the sharpest. And so that's the problem you get. That's the problem that we as African-Americans fall into, because sometimes we allow some of these people to have a leadership position within our community, and they're not really prepared. But nowadays, there are those scholar athletes. If you watch athletics now, you see the brothers that are quite articulate when they're being interviewed. They go into sports casting after. They're going looking at business opportunities. So now what you have is African-Americans and people who are a lot sharper, more distinct, and they are even more of a threat because they have a political opinion. And so as someone who is an entertainer, I find it insulting that people often want to put actors and entertainers in a box. I understand, because they're entertainers and people want to be able to go and see these people and just be entertained and not have the baggage of knowing that they have a certain viewpoint or whatever. I mean, it certainly caused me to look at someone like Elvis Presley a little bit different once I became an adult and found out he might have been racist. Certainly caused me to perhaps look at Clint Eastwood a little bit. Mm. I'm sure that people look at, obviously, Bill Cosby a little bit nowadays, and his position of influence in our community has been in doubt because of his activities. But what you can do is, and I don't want to talk about people like Cosby because that's what we're talking about criminal behavior. But in terms of entertainers being leaders in the society, the way I think that people should decide whether they want to support someone in that position is watch what they do. Watch their accomplishments outside of their chosen field. Let's look at what Oprah has done. Oprah has provided a school for girls in Africa, young girls to grow up. Oprah Winfrey has built her own network in which she showcases a lot of products and pieces for African Americans. Oprah Winfrey has revealed herself. The reason why people have gotten with her, because she's revealed herself. She's shared her pain with America over the years. And what happens then, you know, the quote, when your presence, something about you, when you liberate yourself, your presence automatically causes others to liberate themselves. That's why you have the Oprah Army. That's why she's had the effect. Now, you can critique over the years her appeal to America. Some black people might have said she did a lot of white stories. I've heard critiques about people saying that her corporation was building. She had a lot of white people working around her. But let's look at what she does. And let's look at what someone does when they get in the position of authority and influence in terms of us. Let's talk about in terms of us black people. Let's look at what someone does when they get in a position of authority and influence. What do they do when they get in that very critical point at that critical moment? Do they decide to look out or speak up on behalf of their group and seek justice, or do they become a Clarence Thomas? And when certain cases come to the Supreme Court, he votes against the interests that affect people that look like him. Do they act and behave like members of the Black Caucus, or do they act like members of Republican African-American members or the African-American senator that was standing up there with the Republicans when they had their tax deal that they got through, and there was the only Black senator standing up there? And I'm reminded of the image when Trump was standing up there, said, "We finally working towards killing Obamacare," and that was the crowning achievement of the first African-American president. And the image was there was all these white guys and this one raisin in the milk that was cheering for the fact that we killed the major accomplishment of the first African-American president. So it's the images, and it's what you do when you have that. However, Tim Scott did speak up to Donald Trump and bring up to him when Trump was supporting the idiots in Charlottesville. So it's what you do when you're at that critical point. Do you speak up? And so when people try to judge Oprah, judge what she does at those critical points. You wanted to say, Ma?
Exactly. Another thing, she is right. She's extremely bright. She's the second two in billionaire status, if that is status, under, I think, Trump. What? Her money is right under Trump. Because I saw the comparison with her money and Trump's money, and I think it's a few billion. Yeah, a lot of money.
Okay.
But anyway, you know one thing? Also, let's talk about powerful Black women there. You know one, but you know, on television every morning, I watch The View, and the day they remove Whoopi Goldberg is one of the brightest Black women on television. Now, she is a comedian. She's extremely bright. She's been in a lot of movies, The Color Purple, Ghost, Look At, you know, and a number of other things. And she will keep those women in line, and she knows her politics, and she knows exactly what's happening in the world. So she could even play a role with Oprah Winfrey. As a matter of fact, I understand that they're trying to get Oprah anyway to come on the show, which I think she's been on before anyway. But Elizabeth Warren, you know, she made a comment about she was impressed with Oprah, you know, running for, you know, president. So, yes, it is time for a woman. Yes, it is time for an African-American / Black woman to run for the presidency of the United States of America. She would completely have my unadulterated, you know, support.
Right. And also, let me just point out, too, another thing I wanted to mention was that we were talking about earlier, you mentioned earlier, Trump is a businessman, and a lot of people that want to validate or give a reason or justify their reasoning for voting for him is because of his business acumen, which we all have since found out is a sham and a fraud. But, I mean, if you're talking about business people, look at the business that Oprah has created, the corporation that she's created. So, the old notion that, I'm reminded of the early days of America when you had everybody running for president, you know, when Americans were farmers. I'm talking about the days of George Washington, Lincoln, and Adams, and Thomas Jefferson, and Franklin, you know. So you had a great number of average citizens, so we thought, that ran for office. I want to push back on the notion that entertainers and athletes and people somehow give up their citizenship when they decide to be in the public light. Of course, the notion, they could potentially put their business on the line because some people might not like their politics, so might decide to stop supporting them as an entertainer. But that's a risk, I suppose, if one gets into public office that they would be willing to take and would have to be aware of. But certainly, I'm tired of the notion people push back whenever an actor or an entertainer or an athlete wants to give a political or has a political opinion that they somehow sacrifice that right as an American to have those opinions. And I think when you do that, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. So you just want the person to be aware of the issues and to come off with a somewhat reasonable and thought out perspective. So when people talk about Oprah, and I wonder if a lot of Black men have a little bit of residual anger or resentment about Oprah. I watched, there was an individual who does a lot of vlogs, and someone showed me this individual's response talking about how he felt that Oprah's thing was racist and problematic for black people. And he went on to list several things and talked about how black people already worship Sidney Poitier. So why do we need, why all of a sudden did she start worshiping Sidney once the white people gave him the award, which I thought he missed the point or drew the wrong conclusion. So it seems that sometimes we have a little bit of animosity, I don't know, towards Oprah, a lot of brothers. I don't know how you feel about that, Byron.
I love Byron. Oprah. Okay. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
Okay. Believe me. That's why I want to make sure nobody attacks my queen and Shiro. Okay?
Well, they're ultimately,
it's not about her qualifications. Believe me, she's very qualified to take on the role. Okay? And I'm not throwing any cold water on that possibility. I want the most positive vice president and presidential candidates that we can put up. And if they're going to be both women, I have no problem with that. In fact, I would much rather have that than to see an older Joe Biden. I really don't want to see him run. I really don't want to see Bernie Sanders. He's not a Democrat. He's an independent. And we already been down that road. I don't want to see Hillary Clinton. We don't need that. Now, Elizabeth Warren, Oprah, I think that's a very, very powerful ticket, one that probably can't be beat. I'm tired of especially white men really messing up our world, okay? And we've got some serious issues right now based on white supremacy. And white men are at the very root of what's going on. They have really messed up this world. I was listening to Trump this afternoon welcoming the prime minister from Norway. And after his welcoming, do you realize what he literally said? And I'm going to quote, "We really appreciate Norway purchasing weapons for NATO." Now, if the United States of America is going to be considered the most powerful nation in the world, our power cannot be solely based in weapons sales. And I agree we need to keep NATO safe and all the other allies that we have. But instead of acknowledging the fact that our nation can be based other than weapons sales, we're the number one merchant of weapons in the world. There will never be peace in the world if we keep rolling in that kind of ignorance, because it's ignorance. We can't even get good gun legislation.
War, Byron, is like a man's word. Okay,
and
you would have a great leader as a fit for. A female would be a great leader. Let's face it. You know it and I know it. If not for females, we wouldn't even be here. Okay. Now, listen. I first saw Oprah when she was on the Donahue show. Phil Donahue introduced Oprah Winfrey on NBC. I was in the audience. I was working for WLIB during that time. Wayne would probably remember that. And she was a nobody. But she was impressive enough for Donahue. Now, what was he thinking? You know, he saw something in her. And I remember a long time ago. And since then, that you remember that was many years ago, you know?
I remember
he is totally qualified. And the person to play Oprah, I'm looking at Octavia Spencer.
To play her.
Yeah, to play Oprah Winfrey. They did a movie about her. You know, she's impressive.
Right.
She can be very, very powerful. You know, and I mean, there are several other, you know, very powerful women, you know. Let's see, there's Latifah, but Latifah is a known, you know, that image would not, you know, be presidential, I don't think, even though I like Latifah. But anyway,
Let me just, you done?
Mm-hmm. Just about. Oprah for president.
Okay.
She's going to be president.
All right.
I'm announcing it. And all the women listening to me, black, white, in any other country would, and it was, and the other color rather will agree with me.
Okay. Right.
Bingo.
You know, part of the problem about politics, the unfortunate aspect of it, is that it's a popularity contest. Part of it is a popularity contest. And you know, if anybody that doesn't believe that, all they have to do is watch one of these shows. You can watch Jimmy Kimmel as he has his man on the street, and the guys will show pictures of various public figures, and the people are completely clueless that a lot of people can't name the vice president or secretary of state when they see pictures of them. And Jay Leno, when he was hosting Tonight Show, he used to do the same thing, call it jaywalking and walk down the street and ask people, do you know who this is? So and then if they showed a celebrity, of course people knew who the celebrities were. So it's a popularity contest, and there's a certain amount of what that's why they use the phrase, the term star power, in terms of when they have a candidate. That's what Barack had when he gave that speech at the convention, the Democratic convention, 4 years before he came out and eventually was elected president. So you need that amount of excitement to get people's attention, which is why Trump, you know, if Trump didn't have the reality show, if he didn't have those 50, 60 years of the hype of the Trump name, he would not have been known. People would not have assumed that he was this brilliant businessman. They would not have assumed that he had the skills to be president. I mean, those of us that live in the immediate area that he's from know that all of that stuff eventually lived around long enough, know that it was a fraud. We didn't know to what extent that he was a fraud. I mean, it was just, people would say, hey, Don the Con or Trump, and he's kind of full of it. And he was one of those characters, rich guy, playboy-esque, kind of, you know, kind of slippery, kind of not, you know. So, I mean, he had those, all of those years of hype, all of those years of perception being built up, so people were aware of him. He had a certain amount of name recognition. And so that's, unfortunately, part of what goes into us electing public figures. And so that's why when one comes along with that star power, with that ability to move the crowd, as Rakim would say, they kind of latch on to them. But the problem is, in a public figure, it's hard finding all the attributes and the qualities of a decent American all wrapped up in one person, right? So you get that person who's got all the qualifications to run for public office, and you look into their public record, and lo and behold, they might have had an issue with the law. They might have had an issue with women. I mean, look at Al Franken. On paper, great, but he's got this issue with these activities. And now, certainly nowadays, with the Me Too movement and the women's movement, with all of these things coming on, you have the thinning out of the herd of a lot of people who behaved badly in terms of their relationships with the opposite sex or with the same sex, just from a relation standpoint, and so that X's them out. So when you're looking for, and that's always been the notion too, right? Is someone's moral character versus their abilities to perform the job at hand, which was the problem with Bill Clinton, right? Bill Clinton had a problem, you know, keeping whatever in his pants. But on the flip side, he was a great public servant, right? So what do we do? Even the notion, people want to say the notion of Dr. King had a couple of extramarital affairs of people on the side. But is what the person, I mean, that's the flaws of a human being, right? But as what they're achieving, the greater good. So, I mean, we can ask ourselves these questions and want to have the perfect candidate. We're never going to have the perfect candidate, but we need to get the one that's closest to perfect, or maybe as I'm speaking and thinking about it, maybe not perfect at all. Maybe that's what the average American identifies with, someone who's not perfect, not rich. Well, obviously I've been mistaken because a lot of them identify with this rich man, but I don't think it was his wealth that they identified with. I think it was that tribal a bullhorn that he was sounding off to people. So, but even as we go, and I think you mentioned earlier today about his press conference, Byron, about him and how many times he used, I saw on the news he used collusion. There's no collusion.
I know.
As I said, it's almost like a bit. It's almost as if it was a bit in the movies, you know? And I mean, it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't so obvious that he is lying. And the thing that gets infuriating to a lot of us that are anti-Trump is that we know he's lying. He knows he's lying.
and he knows that we know that he's lying. And he's still going to lie to our face. That's what gets you infuriated, when you and the person both know they're lying, and they still know you're lying, and they know you know that they're lying, and they still going to lie to you, like you're stupid.
You know.
So this guy gets on a press conference and says, you know, there's no collusion because collusion was no good. It's like, you don't use the word every other in the sense 45 times. If you, I mean, it is so obvious that just from, I mean, let's break it down from an acting standpoint, right, Byron? From a character standpoint.
Yeah.
And this is why people can't really, you can't knock actors, because what we have to do when you play a part and you're trying to break down a character, you have to understand the character. So if the character is all bad, they say he's a bad guy. But the character doesn't think they're bad. So as an actor, you have to find out, what made this person bad? How does this person think? So that helps you, in a way, have a certain amount of empathy or at least understanding for other people's points of view. And you also break down why people do what they do, right? Human nature, their thoughts. So when somebody's really trying to lie and make you believe something, what do? They go overboard and just lay it on real thick and talk about how they was never there. I was never there. You know, I was never there. I was never there. I was never there. We're going down the street to get a Coca-Cola, but I was never there at that other place, you know. You know, I think like Shakespeare said, you doth protest too much, my man, you know. So it's just, how obvious does it have to be? How unsubtle? It's like that press conference yesterday, which was nothing but a press opportunity for him to express that his mental capabilities were there, right? And then almost got jammed up by Senator Feinstein, who said, okay, you want to use this opportunity to pimp us? How about this? And he's so dim-witted that whatever notion, even Ann Coulter, one of his main supporters and who's anti-everything righteous in the world, in my opinion, even Ann Coulter said he's willing to go with any idea that was previously discussed, where he almost was down to make a deal until Kevin McCarthy, who was a Republican, said, no, Mr. President, what I think she's saying, and he tried to put his little spin in, and if you were watching the press conference, Senator Feinstein said, no, that's not what I'm saying. But they almost had Trump agreeing to this deal on DACA because he doesn't realize, you know, it's the last thing he said is what this guy's going to go with. And it's unbelievable that we have to sit here and watch this clown show day in and day out. You want to say, Mom?
Yeah, I think it's time for a real change. Now, also, you know, men have been key figures in the, in the presidential, office, White House, for a long period of time. Now, let me, Byron, recommend the top ticket for the presidency and vice presidency. Oprah and Elizabeth Warren.
Great ticket.
And Joe Biden.
Nothing wrong with that ticket.
Harry Belafonte.
Nothing wrong with that ticket.
Hold it.
Yes.
Harry Belafonte had become quite a political figure instead of just being a singer, quote unquote. Okay.
True.
And there's so many other people that we have in our community that would be qualified to be in the president's palace, the presidential palace. Which I call the presidential, house.
Right, the White House, right.
Yeah, the White House. So, therefore,
I mean, those are good ideas for tickets. However, I would put the actual professional politician at the top of the ticket and let Oprah be their vice president. But then by that point, there'll probably want to be some other politicians who would want to be
what's
on that
Trump?
Ticket.
What's Trump?
I'm sorry?
Why did Trump become, you know?
Right.
He was.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Sure.
But I wanted to move on to the other thing that was happening with the that press conference yesterday, because it really was a ploy to try to show Americans that this guy is not mentally incompetent. And even today, but that would be one thing if you didn't see the moves that he was trying to make to squash this investigation, right? Like today, now he's just introducing an idea to come up with a law, a strength of the libel laws, because he's upset about the book and what the guy was saying about him. And so it's really obvious the moves that this president is making to try and really cover his tracks. I mean, the fact that he keeps trying to blame Hillary, and just like, I mean, all of these actions by this guy are so criminal. I mean, just basic 101 criminal type of moves. If all you got to do is watch any procedural drama and see that this guy's, the things that he does are criminal, approaching the line of criminality at best. And it's kind of unbelievable how many people are just going along with it, you know. And Byron, I don't know about you. I saw Joy Reid say, and she brought up the notion that a lot of these people were just, that joined his administration, knew that Trump, you know, was out for himself. So they joined the administration to be out for themselves as well. You know, I'll work here for a little while as if it was not the government, but just a company. I'll work here for a little while, get what I can get out of it, and jump off. And so that's part of the problem, that we have people that are not willing to be committed to serving the true best interests of the country. What do you think about that, Byron?
I think the Republican Party is intentionally engaging in what I call a high crime of treason. And what I mean by that is that the Mueller investigation is uncovering the money trail. And it's been identified that the Russian oligarchs supported just about every one of the 16 candidates who were running for the GOP nomination back in 2016. Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, Rubio, everyone that I'm naming got funding from the Russian oligarchs. And when the Russians gave the Wikipedia information to the Republican National Committee, which was Rance Priebus, they used that information to then spread the information to, so that the governorships and the houses reflected in those red states would stay red. And there's such collusion. Now, let's use the word properly. The collusion that's being uncovered is the fact that those same GOP members that I just named received that funding. And let's throw in one more part of the collusion that really sealed the deal, was Fox TV. So that when using the word collusion, now we get a bigger picture of how they were able to steal the election, and that the word collusion is really a shade to keep us from having a conversation about treason. And that's where we need to go with this. Real information is treason, obstruction of justice, and being charged with sedition. Because when you look up the definition of treason, there's three main definitions that will reflect why we need to indulge in those terms, not collusion. And that's where the investigation is actually heading. And that's why it's become really what you're seeing is the GOP with Grassley, you know, all of the chairs of the committee trying to keep the investigation from coming to them because they received that funding. Okay.
Right.
Now we can get into the depth of what really is in Mueller's investigation. And I am happy that Dianne Feinstein really did us, our democracy, a huge favor by releasing the information that she did yesterday.
Yeah, and also realizing to what extent that they are all, like you said, they are complicit in these lies just to achieve their own personal goals. And they have stepped over the line, if not certainly crossed it and broken the law, in terms of being enabling this president to obstruct justice. I mean, let's look at the reasons he's mad at Jeff Sessions because Sessions recused himself. If you look at everything that Trump does and just from where he's come from, his background, a lot of the things that are to be expected, right? He's used to being a CEO, a rich man, telling people what to do, not taking any orders from anybody. And so he's running the presidency that way, as if it's a corporation and he is the CEO. And many people have said this as well, that and as if everybody works for him, which is why he felt the need that he hire his son-in-law, hire his daughter, hire his kids, whoever, and why he also felt the need that he could tell Jeff Sessions, he could say to Comey, you're going to be loyal to me. He could demand or get mad when Sessions didn't recuse himself. I mean, basically, you know, when a lawyer recuses himself, that means they're trying to avoid any legal liability, any wrongdoing. So here, Trump wanted Sessions to put himself in the way of potential criminal wrongdoing to protect him. I mean, even when he comes and says that he wanted to have an attorney general like JFK and R, he wanted to have a brothership relationship with Sessions or Obama, Eric Holder, you know, African-American, not that that is that was the thing they had in common. But he wanted to have a relationship, like he said, with someone, with an attorney general who was going to protect him. So he literally wanted Jeff Sessions to be willing, like in the organized crime, to go down for the crime for him, if you think about it. That's why he got mad. That's why if Sessions didn't recuse himself, he would have exposed to himself the criminal proceedings, right? Trump, yeah. Like an organized crime figure, wanted one of his underlings to be willing to go down for him. It's unbelievable. And then when that wasn't the case, obviously, like what many organized crime or what people who are accused of crime do, he starts going in and attacking the prosecutor and people who are investigating it. And so now he's starting to change his tune about sitting down with Robert Mueller. They're talking about he might want to do that some of his lawyers and people wanted to have like a little written exam for him to take home. He didn't want to sit down with the guy. So you got to understand where Trump is coming from, his mentality. His mentality also is if you go after him, he's going to come after you 10 times harder. He can't help it. So that's when people say he doesn't have the temperament. He doesn't have the mindset. He's not even coming from the perspective to be present, to be concerned about anybody else but him, himself, and their own needs. And him and his whole family, their program is so transparent. It's like his daughter coming out tweeting that Oprah speech was all great and wonderful. I'm like, get out of here. What are you talking about? You're trying to jump on the bandwagon and say something good like everybody else. So, you know, their mentality is everybody is there for their disposal. They're all at their disposal, which is why Jared and Ivanka, they say, reports have shown that it was Jared and Ivanka who encouraged him to fire James Comey, which was Steve Bannon, unemployed Steve, I guess we're giving him nicknames, Steve Bannon. That's why he was mad, because he felt that was a bad move, you know? So people kind of got to understand where Trump is coming from. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Eric, I want you to consider the three top definitions of treason, and because we can talk about collusion, but it's probably not a crime enough to impeach, but treason is. Now, here's the definition. There's three definitions, and I'm going to give you examples of where the GOP is complicit. Number one definition, treason, the offense of acting to overthrow one's government or to harm or kill its sovereign. Now, the GOP have been guilty in this since 2008 to 2017. Guilty. Number one, the day after Obama was sworn in, they signed an oath to make him a one-term president, as well as to obstruct all of his administration. Mm-hmm. Openly defying and brazenly disrespecting your president while hoping that he fails is not called patriotism. It's called treason. Definition number two, treason, a violation of allegiance to one's sovereign or to one's state. Now, you swear as a congressman or a senate to protect the laws of the Constitution of the United States. And when you're swearing allegiance to overthrow that state or your commander-in-chief, and let's be very clear about this, they are paid federal employees. So their treason is beyond the fact that they did the oath, but they participated in it year-long in all 8 years. Remember, the health care plan known as Affordable Care Act really did have a wonderful construct as it was originally written. So if it were a clear bill of legislation, it would be in effect, and we'd even have more people covered today. So they had the GOP participated in trying to kill that bill from the very beginning. And how many times did they have committees and votes to try to dismantle it? Definition number three of treason, the betrayal of a trust or confidence, treachery. That's sedition. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the day that Donald Trump walked those Russian ambassador into the Oval Office was openly and brazenly participating in treason, and he even gave them information from the CIA that was about the intelligence information that could have compromised the state of Israel. He did that in the office.
Of course, and I agree with you on all of those. Those are all aspects that, and I would like him to see them go down for treason, all of them. But here's the thing. The thing that seems to be striking people more powerfully or strongly is watching his behavior. His behavior. Those of us who are perceptive enough to watch these. I mean, even in today, when he was standing there with the, I guess that was the president or of Norway or the prime minister of Norway, and he started talking about collusion, and he crossed his arms in that defensive, what they say is defensive body posture. But if you watch, if you really watch, you can see when this guy is lying. And you watch his mouth. You watch his – I mean, from my perspective. I mean, you know, I like I said, I'm, and I might be wrong, ladies and gentlemen, but I kind of – you know, it's kind of what I do a little bit in terms of, like I said, as an actor, my career as an actor, you had to watch people and watch their mannerisms and why people do certain things and their movements, their body movements. You can tell when Trump is lying. There's a certain thing that his mouth does. You know, you can tell when anybody is just spinning off the top of their head. They're just spouting, you know, talking out there, you know what. You know, we all can tell when somebody starts to BS us, if you're real perceptive, when they start kind of talking extemporaneously and repeating themselves because they don't have anything else to say. You know, this guy, you can tell when this guy starts lying. And then 5 minutes later, he's proven to lie. There's not even any kind of lag time, really. I mean, he's lying. And the stats are on the crawl on the television screen that you're watching. So I mean,
but what's really worse than Trump's delusions is the GOP's denials of the revealed facts and truth. That's even worse, because we're professional. You and I are professional actors. We know, you know, we are trained. And you can tell Trump is not trained in the art, because he makes those mistakes. He's worse than Reagan as a grade B actor.
You said the GOP is in denial? What did you say? The GOP is what?
The GOP's denials of the revealed facts and truth. That's worse than his delusions.
I don't think it's denial. I think it's enabling. I think they're colluding with him when he lies, when they came from Camp David. I'll tell you, everybody else, and everybody listening to my voice, within the sound of our voice, if you watch the footage from when they did the press conference from Camp David, watch when they first walk out. Watch how Paul Ryan is walking. You saw how. Did you notice how Paul Ryan was walking? The whole way he was walking was like, oh, God, I got to walk out.
I know, it's like, we got to go through this.
Here we go. You know?
Here we go.
And they just kind of, their eyes just glaze over when they know he goes down that path of endless lies. It's just that press, and there's another press, I don't know if it was from there, or what, it was from that same press conference. Watch the footage when he starts, you know, riffing. When Trump starts riffing, boy, batting down the hatches.
You know, I know.
Republican accomplishments behind them, man. Their eyes start glazing over, and they're like, oh, Lordy, Lord, Lord, don't let them say nothing. Somebody ask them a question. Let's wrap this up, we're going down a bumpy path here. Even they know it, man. And you see the looks on their faces, and that's the whole thing. You're going to stand up here behind this dude when you know he's lying, and he's not even a good liar? Is that how you're going down? You're going to go down with a dude who's not even a good liar, and he's going to make stuff up, and you're going to stand up there and co-sign on this guy, huh? Just so you can get what you want.
Eric.
Wow, there's a lot.
He didn't even know the words to the national anthem when he went to the championship game
in Atlanta. They busted him with a microphone as he was trying to lip sync along with the words of the national anthem, and he did not know the lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly should know the lyrics, but a lot of people don't, so I can't really
Thank
be
you.
That mad about him. But you know, if he's going to go as the president, you might want to know it. I mean, we're coming up on like 10 minutes to left to go on the show, Mon.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing over
yeah.
there. We need to I want to for us to shift gears a little bit. This week or last week, the daughter of Erica Gardner,
right.
passed
yeah.
away
yes.
from a
right.
heart attack.
Oh my.
That she had
yep.
and at the age of in her mid-20s. And it's a tragic story that this young woman had to be stressed out for the years since her father was murdered by these murderous cops for trying to, you know, just be out there and get his little hustle on, two little midget cops that wanted to bring down a man. And it was unfortunate. It's a terrible, terrible thing that this family had to suffer this. And these are the problems of racism as they have affected our community and our people for all too many centuries. And it's ridiculous
okay, yep.
that she had here. Go, Ma.
I agree.
Oh, you
go. There you go.
Go,
go
you and you
there
know.
You go.
No. Listen, the name of the woman that we're thinking of is Sabrina Fulton.
No, Erica Gardner.
Erica Gardner. Yes, his family also. I mean, that was horrible. And because he, the members of the police department in New York, as far as I'm concerned, committed murder,
mm-hmm.
And it was on television, and it was ridiculous.
I agree.
It was foolish. And with me being on television, on the radio at WIB, you know, experiencing story after story about the police department and their treatment of Black, African American, and Latino boys and men. It was quite an experience to go through every time you heard of one of these cases. I mean, I'm also talking about the boys in Central Park 5. Now, Sabrina Fulton, you know,
mother of Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm. You know, she has an
yep.
organization of mothers who are really involved in, you know, changing the world. So people will. There's a book out that I think she wrote. And it's the enduring Rest in Power. The name of it is Rest in Power, The Enduring Life of Trayvon Martin by Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin.
Who was Trayvon's father.
Yeah. And Sabrina Fulton, of course, is Trayvon's mother. So the copyright is 2017, and it's going to be published. I think it might be out already. The name of it is Rest in Power.
Right.
The Enduring Life
okay.
of Trayvon Martin. So if people want to
yeah.
know in that book, and we'll be talking about it when I get my hands on it, and of course reading it. And there's a couple other things I wanted to mention. You know, you really have to listen to Whoopi Goldberg. She really breaks down things. Now, she is an actress, yes, but she is one of the brightest women that you would want to talk to. What is his name? Joe, what is his name? Anyway. There's a presidential person.
Joe Biden.
No, I'm not talking about Joe Biden. Her father is, he's a good guy. John McCain.
Okay.
Daughter.
Right,
on the View. Wait a minute, Eric. I don't need you to interrupt this. Now, she's also on The View. I don't know if they are getting ready to put her on in place of Whoopi or not. But Whoopi goes, I go. Joey Behar, yes. We all know Joey Behar from, you know, of my WLIB days. So anyway, and this kind of stuff makes you angry when you have a person in the White House, you know, who is, I can't even say the word.
All right. We want to talk about also, remembers the organization. I know that Sabrina Fulton has
yeah.
an organization
yeah.
with all the other mothers who have lost their children. I forget the name of the organization. I can't find it
right.
offhand. But they have all of the mothers who have lost sons and children to the police violence within the last couple of years have come out in solidarity and have these organizations, of which Sabrina Fulton and Eric Gardner's mother are members and kind of have a solidarity. You know, when you were on WLIB, Mom, you know, we didn't have the benefit of cell phones, and certainly media and technology was not what it is today, where we could be aware, at least be aware of these things. What we had back when you guys were doing the radio and LIB was, I think, at his, one of his stronger point, his strongest points in history, was the fact that we did have black radio where people could call up the stations and report what was happening and the injustices that were being suffered by African Americans, as did the black press for centuries, and those black newspapers, the mighty newspapers that kept the news going to our people and kept our people aware of what was being perpetrated against us. I don't know if this is Mr. Wayne Gilman at the 914, but I'm going to open up your microphone. Hello, is this Wayne?
Good evening.
Hey,
how is everyone?
There, I didn't even know you were on there. Sorry about that. Do you want to chime in and give the No, do you want to chime in and give your
No, I've been listening. I it sounds like as if I missed most of the excitement, but I was asked to call at a particular time, and so I'm here nonetheless, and there's been so much going on, and you're right. I mean, it seems like it was ancient history, I mean, to look back at those days, and it looks like yesterday, but, you know, there was a lot. I mean, we had cell phones, but the social media certainly was nowhere near what it is today in terms of its reach, and you know, not to put it down, because I really, when it started, I really was not in lockstep with what was going on. But anybody, citizen journalist today, has done so much to bring to the fore some of the injustices that, you know, regardless of how it has impacted on the media, the traditional media as we knew it, or at least as your mom and I knew it, you know, it's certainly just as exciting today, if not more so.
And Wayne, I have to say that you leading, you know, in that leadership spot over there at WLIB News Director, you were instrumental in all this, you know, and getting that news out there. But I put a message on your machine, you know, by the way, about this, the change of the time. Okay. So just to let you know. So check your machine. But anyway.
Okay.
And also, Wayne, I want to get, you know, we've got another 2 minutes left, but as we wind it out, I just was talking about, you know, the technology allowing us to be a lot more aware of these crimes to be
right,
come to the forefront. But as the news director and in the news department of the radio station, you guys were the first ones contacted a lot of these times, right, when these crimes were perpetrated against African-Americans, if I'm not correct, right?
Yeah. I mean, we had a few moments. And I tell you, the thing is that even going back to that period, there was so much attentive listening between what was going on in black radio and white radio, mm-hmm, and traditional radio. You know, just the Barry, am I saying his name right? Barry Grant? I'm thinking of Barry Gray and Bob Grant.
Bob Grant.
You know, Barry
Bob
Gray
Grant
was,
yeah,
certainly not as racist and as conservative as Bob Grant. Bob Grant was, in my opinion, was an outright racist. And, you know, all these people like Sean Hannity and all these others who've come after Bob Grant, they learned from Grant's, you know, they sat on his lap in order to become who they are today, you know, and that's as far as I'm concerned, you know, and they would just
right,
go back and forth between your mom's show and theirs.
Right. Well, there it is. We've got to leave it. That's, we're coming up on the end of the show. We got 10 seconds left. Sorry, we need to get more from you, Wayne. We had that little mix-up,
right,
but we'll be back again. We'll be back again next week. I want to say thank you to our resident historian and other co-host, Mr. Byron Saunders. Byron?
Peace and love, always.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Once again, as always, the legendary newsman. Glad we got to hear from again tonight, Mr. Wayne Gilman.
Thank you,
sir.
All the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Once again, this has been the Kay Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am the person that's known as the Sun, and you are
in charge. Kay Thompson here. Everybody listening, everyone saying, Kay Thompson Live on Blog Talk Radio Network.
BlogTalkRadio.com/Kay Thompson Live. Every Wednesday live, 8 to 9 p.m. And the show is also archived. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you next week.